Well, first, I'd like to thank Yahweh for providing the message, first and foremost. I do have to ask, or say rather, that I want to thank my mom as well, because she basically handed me the message in my lap. I asked her if there's anything that that she'd like me to maybe talk about, and she came in with her Bible, and in the back she had an area called Favorite Readings from the Bible. And one of those is at the top on the second page. It says Wisdom and Her Rewards, and she opened up Proverbs 8 to me. So what I'd like to do is to go through an analysis of Proverbs chapter 8 and the wisdom that we need. And it's interesting that this points out the wisdom and her rewards, which I think is significant as we'll look into it. But sometimes we're misunderstood when we describe that the Savior has been with the Father from the beginning, but that the Savior himself is not actually the Father. We have explained that the only begotten Son has been the expressed image of the Father, just as Yahweh's word says. He has indeed seen the Father. He was and is even now a representative of and for the Father, Yahweh, the Ancient of Days. But the traditional teachings of the Trinity, borrowed from pagan societies, has clouded the minds of people, so that it's hard to see the truth. It's important that we acknowledge the Son and the Father for who they are and what they ultimately want from us. Today, we're going to take a closer look at the wisdom we find in Proverbs chapter 8. We'll start to see conceptually that Yahweh does have a representative, so exact in purpose, goals, and aspirations that it is sometimes difficult to separate the two. But as we consider Proverbs chapter 8, that's exactly what it does for us, as we consider it with other parts of Scripture. In Erdman's Dictionary of the Bible, I found this quite helpful to and want to relate it. It reads, "Dictionaries define wisdom as the ability to make sound judgments on what we know, especially as it relates to life and conduct. The wise do not value the quantity of knowledge by itself, but the ethical and moral dimensions of how we evaluate human experience and act on it." Of course, we're going to go beyond the allegorical and figurative, but we find that there is a literal wisdom. Let's start out in verses 1 through 4 of Proverbs 8. "Does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? On the top of the heights along the way, between the paths, she has taken her stand. Besides the gate leading to the city, at the entrance, she shouts, 'O men, I call to you, and my voice is to the sons of men.'" It's interesting that Judges, we're just reading, the priest was at the gate, you know, and we, of course, understand that Yahshua is our high priest today. But it goes on to say, well, let me stop here and just comment. The reference to her and she is usually there because it is, grammatically no neuter gender in the Hebrew, and scholars have just put that in to describe. But it should be pointed out that the usage of the words her and she used could also be related, as Strong's number 1931 brings out, can be either he or she. And it's actually only used in verse 1. The others are helper words. So it's just verse 1 that we find the word there, but it can be either he or she. So let's put that in just to take a look. "Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up his voice? On the top of the heights along the way between the paths, he has taken his stand. Besides the gates leading to the city, at the entrances, the shouts are, he shouts, 'O men, I call to you, and my voice is to the sons of men.'" Forgot to change that last one there. But does this give a clearer picture of who we might actually be seeing in Proverbs chapter 8 in a figurative way? It's interesting that the wisdom is described standing by the gates leading to the city. Which city? Could we relate this to New Jerusalem, the heavenly city? I suspect so. And if so, we should remember that the 12 gates mentioned in Revelation of this New Jerusalem has the 12 tribes of Israel named. That is, each gate has one of the names of the 12 or the tribes of Israel over it. Couldn't we say then that the wisdom is standing next to Israel? Figuratively speaking, of course, but literally when we consider that Israel is the apple of Yahweh's eye. Whoops, did I just give away who wisdom might be here? Well, the question really is, in the start or beginning of Proverbs 8, that is, who does call us? Who speaks to our hearts and minds? Well, the only begotten Son tells us the answer. John 6:44-47. No one can come to me unless the Father who sends me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by Elohim. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not everyone that has seen the Father, except he, or not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from Yahweh. He has seen the Father. Well, the English Standard Version doesn't capitalize he here, but we understand that this is Yahshua the Messiah speaking, the Son of Yahweh. And he, capital H, is saying that only he from among men has seen the Father. Okay? That causes a bit of a dilemma when we go back into the Tanakh and see who is speaking. So wisdom is Yahweh, right? We have to consider the Son of Yahweh as well, because he also calls out. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If Yahshua only spoke what the Father told him to, then indeed, it is still the Father who is doing the calling. But Yahshua is not the Father, because Yahshua prayed to the Father, and we also are to pray to the Father. But we do so through the Son. Continuing in Proverbs 8:5-6, you simple ones understand insight, and you fools be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I speak noble words, and the opening of my lips is about straightness. This really should make all of us stop and consider what we may have thought we understood, because the one speaking now is relating understanding. Proverbs 8:7-9. For my mouth speaks truth, and wrongness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, none of them twisted or crooked, all of them plain to him who understands, the straight to those who find knowledge. And as we speak here, we oftentimes will, as we speak, you know, here, we oftentimes will ask that Yahweh speak through us. We ask that of him. And this is definitely what I think we're seeing here with the author of Proverbs. And, of course, we see this throughout Scripture. It is all inspired of Yahweh for Yahweh's purpose, providing us the wisdom that we need. And indeed, we need wisdom. We should always go back to him to see what he has wanted from the beginning, to keep in mind what he wants from us at the end. Deuteronomy 10:12-13. Now, Israel, what does Yahweh your Elohim require from you but to fear Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in all of his ways and to love him, and to serve Yahweh your Elohim with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and to keep Yahweh's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your own good. Can we separate the fear of Yahweh and serving him with all of our heart and soul, and yet ignore his commandments and statutes, which he commanded Israel and any who would join with them to serve him, to worship him? Scripture confirms that Yahweh doesn't change, and that what he wanted from the beginning is also what he wants in the end, obedience from the heart. Mankind's problem is we wanted to follow our own heart, and our heart is, in general, evil because of the nature of things that we find in the earth. And the human nature that we still deal with. Proverbs 8:7-9. Again, let's review what we read. For my mouth speaks truth, and wrongness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, none of them twisted or crooked, all of them plain to him who understands, the straight to those who find knowledge. Keeping this in mind and considering who wisdom is, let's consider what King David said, who had a heart after Yahweh's own heart. That's something to consider and meditate upon. Psalm 119:1-5. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of Yahweh. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts, that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. I was checking the word law in another translation, which usually mentions Torah, the Hebrew word essentially meaning instructions, which is exactly what the translation I looked up writes in this particular verse. The Torah in most places in Scripture, as we understand, is in reference to the first five books of the Bible, foundational for all the rest when we think about it. But going on in Proverbs 8:12-14, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. Well, would we agree that these are all attributes of Yahweh? Paul understood that the power is of Yahweh as well as wisdom, both found embodied in the Messiah. 1 Corinthians 1:24, unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Messiah, the power of Elohim and the wisdom of Elohim. Who has understanding, and how do we get it? Psalms 119:100-104, I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. It says, you yourself have taught me. If we want understanding, we have to put into practice Yahweh's word, which is written down for us by Yahweh's own hand. For King David, they were honey to his mouth. Joshua also told the people to live by the words of Yahweh, written down for us today, that we might walk in liberty. Psalm 119:44-48, we read from King David, so I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Law, commandments, statutes. All the things prophesied that those who have Yahweh's Spirit would be given the help to do, to be obedient, free from the death penalty that disobedience brings, free and walking in liberty. Proverbs 8, continuing verse 15-16, by me kings reign and princes decree righteousness. By me do chiefs rule and nobles all judges of the earth. Who lifts up kings, judges, and rulers? Daniel 2, verse 21, it is he who changes the times and epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Obviously, we cannot attribute every word of wisdom or every word wisdom as a reference to Yahweh. But there are figurative areas of Scripture which give us a deeper understanding of who Yahweh is, and also who Yahshua, the Son, is. What I'd like to do now is start to think about wisdom in terms of the pre-existent Savior. Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love those loving me, and those seeking me earnestly do find me. Those seeking will find, but they have to earnestly seek. John 7, 37 through 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Yahshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Yahshua often said, those that have ears to hear, let him hear. So it does tend to go back to the idea that Yahweh has to open up the heart and mind of an individual to be able to hear. In speaking of wisdom in a literal sense, James says that Yahweh will give it to us. James 1 through 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Yahweh, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Though the 12 tribes of Israel are addressed at the start of this letter, James does say all will be granted wisdom if they ask Yahweh for it. Even Yahshua, as you may recall, granted the woman who was not of Israel healing her daughter, submitted to her request for the healing of her daughter. It was by faith and belief that Yahshua could heal that it was granted. Another thing that Yahshua did was to proclaim that he was coming back with a reward, which makes the next verse tend to stand out. Verse 18. Riches and esteem are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. This, of course, would apply to Yahweh as well, as he is the giver of every good gift. But as we go along, imagine wisdom is speaking of Yahshua. Verses 19 through 21 of Proverbs 8. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than the choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Riches, when you think about it, are much more than gold and silver. Good health is certainly good, but a good heart is even better. Given a choice, would we want a room full of gold or a heart filled with Yahshua's character and attributes? One of the things we are to do is walk in the Master's footsteps. And we know that he did walk in righteousness, as he never sinned against his father's laws. He was blessed, and we will also be blessed if we follow him. In Proverbs, we now hear Yahweh's name spoken again, but this time wisdom is speaking about him, which means wisdom now has to be looked upon a little differently. Proverbs 8, 22 through 25. Yahweh brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his days of old, I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Now, most translations will say possessed me, or instead of brought me forth, but the New International Version, I think, has it correct in context of what we're seeing. As emphasized by the Dictionary of Biblical Languages with semantic domains, it says here, the word in Strong's Concordance is the Hebrew word 7069, but it means either bought or acquire. And if we were to look at the next definition of it, because it gives two options, it says essentially that it means to create, bring forth, such as to give birth. But going back, let's highlight some of these other areas in Proverbs 8, 22 through 25. Yahweh brought me forth. the first of his works. I was formed at the very beginning. I was given birth. I was given birth. Can we say Yahshua was created, born of Yahweh? I've wondered about this myself and thought about how Adam and Eve were considered one flesh. Yahweh and Yahshua are considered one. But how did Adam and Eve become one flesh? Well, what happened is Yahshua actually took a part of Adam to create Eve. Is this what has happened with Yahshua? Did Yahweh take a part of himself and bring Yahshua into existence? Is it even possible that Yahweh could have done such a thing with Yahshua? What about scriptures that show that Yahweh alone did all creation? Isaiah 44, 24. Thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb, I am Yahweh, who made all things, who alone stretch out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. Throughout this particular area of scripture, Yahweh is chiding the people for worshiping pagan idols who don't even have an existence other than what the people put upon them. Yahweh is saying there is no Savior but him. And yet, when we look deeper at the context, we find something interesting. Going on, verse 13 of Isaiah 48, my hand laid the foundation of the earth. My hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand forth together. His arm is also mentioned in the next verse. But could it be that Yahweh from the beginning took a part of himself to create Yahshua, referred to as his only begotten son, and who was made as the expressed an exact image of Yahweh. Psalm 98, verses 1 through 3. Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. Yahweh has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Elohim. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Elohim. Is this an allusion to Yahshua, Yahweh's salvation, or is it just idioms used to describe things Yahweh himself is doing? What does Yahshua say? John 10, verses 30 through 33. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Yahshua answered them, I showed you many works, many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? And the Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, made yourself out to be Elohim. And Elohim is basically just a title saying mighty one. And we find this described in Scripture. But this is one of the great mysteries we are seeing revealed in Scripture. In Proverbs 8, and by Yahshua, that he was with the Father from the beginning, that he is the one who spoke to Abraham, Moses, Noah, and the others, of the like. Because no man has heard his voice. No man has heard the voice of Yahweh, that is. Yahweh, the Ancient of Days, Yahweh, the Father. Nor has anyone seen him. It had to be a representative. Yahshua is that representative and ambassador. He is the representative, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, for Yahweh. He did nothing of himself. What he heard, he spoke, and by him all things were created. From the beginning, we receive information that the title Elohim can be more than one. It can be mighty ones. Genesis 1, 26. Then Elohim said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Who is directing and who is following orders? Who is working together? The answer is Yahweh and Yahweh. Genesis 19, verse 24. And Yahweh hath reigned upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Yahweh, from the heavens. And the word heavens is plural, and as we've noted before, there's three heavens noted in Scripture. So this fire and brimstone came from maybe a meteor, threw down some brimstone from that, maybe from a volcano, both heavens. But here we find Yahweh hath rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Yahweh. Now that could be just the wording, you know, maybe not that clear. There's another place, in fact there's a couple other places, but as I was sitting here today, I found one of them. It's in Zechariah. I don't have it on for the screen here. But in Zechariah 3, if you want to turn with me here, you can read it in your own scriptures. But let me back up to verse 3, or verse 1 of Zechariah 3. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of Yahweh. Who is the angel of Yahweh? Well, a thorough search throughout scripture, you'll find that's in reference to Joshua. But it says, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And then notice, verse 2, Yahweh said to Satan, Yahweh rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, Yahweh who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Amazing depth to the word that we read. And I knew as soon as my mom handed me Proverbs 8, that chapter, it was going to be a deep study. And there's more that can be delved into, but there's still some more that we can look at here. Proverbs 8, 26 through 28. Before he had made the earth and the fields, or the first dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he decreed a vault on the face of the deep, when he set the clouds above, when he made the fountains of the deep strong. Continuing verse 29 through 30. When he gave to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he decreed the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, a master workman, and I was his delight, day by day, rejoicing before him all the time. This is what is described in the book of John about the Word being in the beginning with Yahweh and being as Elohim and creating all things under the direction of Yahweh. The first century disciples understood this, and this is what we also understand. Yahweh is the draftsman, and Yahshua is the master craftsman. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. He is the image of the invisible Elohim, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Continuing in verses 18 through 20. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his stake. Can it be any clearer? Since Joshua was the one who spoke and even wrote the law for the people, the following should have even more meaning for us, as wisdom has been identified, and it is also the wisdom we need. Proverbs 8, verses 31 through 34. Rejoice in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men, now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Fear of Yahweh was mentioned earlier in this chapter. It means we are to respect him and do what he requires of any who would worship him. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. He endures forever. He has eternal life within himself. And he has given this even to Joshua and offers it to us. Proverbs 8, verses 34 through 36. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor or grace from Yahweh. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Upon final analysis of Proverbs chapter 8, we find it speaks of wisdom literally of the nature of wisdom, but also figuratively of Yahweh and Joshua. And what does Joshua tell us concerning the love we are to have towards him and his father? John 15, verse 10. If you guard my commands, you shall stay in my love, even as I have guarded my father's commands and stay in his love. Just as Joshua was the Yahweh we see and hear in the Torah, prophets, and writings, it is Yahweh we are to be obedient to today. Psalm 95, 6 through 10, we'll close with this. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh, our Maker, for he is our Elohim, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. It was Joshua who led the people out of Egypt, and he was called Yahweh. He was exactly as Yahweh, a perfect representative, and even today stands as a perfect sacrifice for us to accept. He is the great shepherd, and we are the sheep if we follow with our whole heart and keep his ways, which are his father's ways.